Yeah. We're running up to the end, the male mineral.
Which one?
Champ.
Okay. Thank you, councillors. It's now 6:30 and I declare the meeting open and advise the public that in accordance with the Council's Code of Meeting Practice, Council meetings are recorded and the audio is later webcast via Council's website. The entire chamber is included in the audio recordings and visitors in the gallery may have their voice captured and webcast. By attending a Council meeting, you consent to your speech or other personal information being captured, recorded and webcast. For this reason, I advise that any opinions expressed or statements made by individual persons during the course of this meeting are the opinions or statements of those individual persons and not opinions or statements of Council. All persons shall refrain from making any defamatory remarks. Council accepts no liability for any defamatory remarks made during the course of the Council meeting. Furthermore, all persons should refrain from making public comments about another individual without seeking the consent of that individual beforehand. We all stand for the Council prayer. Councillor Burke.
Most gracious God, we pray for the Council of the City of Cessnock, its members and officers, direct their work and influence their decisions to the advancement of your glory and the safety and welfare of the city, so that peace and happiness, truth and justice, and sound development may be established among us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Council acknowledges the Wanneroo people as the traditional custodians of this land we are meeting on today, the elders past, present, and future. We also acknowledge the Awabakal people to the east and the Dargunjung people to the south, and other Aboriginal peoples who now live within the Cessnock local government area. There are no apologies. Confirmation of minutes of the previous meeting. Move Councillor Dagg, second Councillor Saville. No debate, put the motion, those in favour. Councillors Doherty, Dunn, Fagg, Stapleford, Saville, Fitzgibbon, Gray, Dagg, Burke, Sander, Lyons and Pinson, those against. Councillor Olsen. Disclosures of interest. Councillor Fagg.
Thank you, Mayor Pinsent. I refer to report number MM20 2019. Report titles donations to New South Wales RFS in lieu of fireworks at Carols in the Park 2019. For non-pecuniary interest, less than significant conflict, for the reason that my wife is an active member and call-out officer for Rothbury Rural Fire Service. I choose to remain in the chamber and participate in discussion and voting, as the conflict has no influence, does not influence me in carrying out my public duty.
Councillor Saville.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. Report number MM19-2019, Cessnock Correctional Centre Access. I'd like to declare a non-pecuniary interest less than significant conflict for the reason that my sister is an employee of Justice Health working at the Cessnock Correctional Centre, and I will choose to remain in the chamber and participate in discussion and voting, as the conflict has not influenced me in carrying out my public duty because it will not impact on her employment.
I'm not aware of any petitions or any public address. Consideration and adoption of all reports by Englobo.
Public addresses. We did have an application from a resident from Knuckleby to speak. I know it came in at 3 o'clock and supposed to be in by midday, but in previous council meetings we've allowed speakers to speak on the night. I think it would be the honourable thing to do, since we're discussing it tonight, that we allow this person to speak tonight.
General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. It's in the code of meeting practice that by noon on the Tuesday prior to the meeting, that is the deadline for speakers.
So then if I can ask another question then. So what we've done previously is against the code of conduct and we've done the wrong thing.
I think you're referring to the code of meeting practice there?
Code of meeting practice.
Yeah. General Manager.
I can't really speak on the past because I wasn't here then.
Thank you. Consideration and adoption of all reports by Englobo and individually with nominated exceptions. Councillor Doherty.
Thanks, Mayor Pinson. I'd like to consider GMU 24, 2019, the Business Capability Report. GMU 25, 2019, the Acting General Manager. GMU 26, Minutes of the Audit and Risk Committee. PE 79, Development Application Performance Monitoring. CC 119, Minutes of the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Committee. CC 120, Disclosure of Interests in Written Returns. CC 121, Investment Report, November 2019. WI 88, 2019, Traffic and Transport Strategy. WI 91, Roadside Drainage Strategy. WI 94, Review of Recreation and Open Space Strategic Plan. WI 95, Funding for Sporting Facility Infrastructure. WI 97, Adoption of the Revised Naming of Council Assets. CO 30, The Western Fire and Rescue Station.
So you're moving that way, Councillor Doherty?
Yes, I'm moving that way, that they be accepted to be in Globad.
Thank you. With a seconder, Councillor Saville. I'll put that. All in favour? That's unanimous. Moving to Mayoral Minute 18, I'd like to move a procedural motion in regards to this Mayoral Minute that it be dealt with at the end of the meeting. So if I can get a seconder. Councillor Sander, I'll put that. All in favour? Unanimous. Thank you. Mayoral Minute 19. I've amended the Mayoral Minute, so we'll just go through it point by point. Council notes that the access to the Cessnock Correctional Centre is a decision for the State Government and the Department of Corrections. Two, Council reaffirms the position that the access to the Correctional Centre at Lindsay Street, Maver Street be closed and that a new access be created via a direct route from Wine Country Drive onto land owned by Hunter New England Health. Three, that Council notes that on a meeting on the 12th of November 2019 with Minister for Corrections Anthony Roberts and the Member for Cessnock Clayton Barr, the Minister outlined concerns with the proposed route through Hunter New England Health land. Following this meeting, the Member for Cessnock addressed a meeting of the Cessnock Correctional Centre Consultative Committee on the 6th of December 2019 and outlined the reasons why the health land access proposal would not progress. Four, that we request that the General Manager engage with the Department of Corrections to confirm their suggested solution to establish an access to the Cessnock Correctional Centre via Wine Country Drive. And the calls on the Department of Corrections to meet the following conditions when selecting the State Government preferred access route. One, that access to the correctional centre is via a route that has minimal impact on private residences before it adjoins the state road network. Sufficient security fencing and screening be installed along the route to prohibit vehicle and pedestrian access near private residences. The route minimises traffic on Cessnock Council maintained roads, and that safe access be maintained where the route joins the state road network. So I'm moving that way in the response to the rejection by the Minister to the proposal put by both the residents and State Member Clayton Barr and supported by this chamber, on the premise that it was no longer going to be an option. We as a council need to keep at the table in negotiating a solution to this access situation. The alternative to do nothing, to reject this mayoral minute, is to keep the same access as it's been for the last 30 years. We have a vast network of roads that are affected at present with the access. Mount View Road in particular, and the intersection of Wallumbye Road and Mount View Road, are traffic hotspots. I think by taking those heavy vehicles and the staff vehicles out of that intersection and that network will improve the traffic flow and increase the life of any work that we continue to put in. Can I just point out that the gentleman videoing at the back, it's not permitted in the chamber? It's not just the access of and the use of those two roads, but it's also Mavis Street, Ann Street, and where it comes out on Allendale Road. It's quite an extensive network of roads. If there is a solution out and to use Wine Country Drive, that would be the best solution for not just the residents, but for the whole community, to reduce those maintenance costs for all those roads that council's maintained for the last 30 years while that access to the Cessnock Correctional Centre has been maintained. And can I emphasise at point one that council realises that this is not our decision, but we need to be there to negotiate for the best outcome for the ratepayers of the Cessnock local government area.
Councillor Olsen.
Yeah, a couple of questions, Mayor Pinson. You said that if we don't support this motion tonight, we're going to be stuck with Lindsay Street access. Where was that made? What comment are you relying on that? What information?
I'm relying on the information from the meeting with Minister Roberts, where it was either further the investigation off Wine Country Drive. If we didn't participate, there'd be no other offer.
So have you got that the minutes of those meetings you had?
We have no record of those meetings in writing at this point.
So have we got any records or any minutes or anything that's come from the state government saying that they will not use Hunter Health Ground?
Not at this point.
Nothing in writing?
Not at this point.
So then, Mayor Pinson, can we defer this until February, in the first meeting in the new year, so the residents get a chance to have their, to do some investigating, and so that the residents can then come back to council and come back with their reasons why we should be still negotiating through Hunter Health Ground, instead of rushing this through tonight on a night just before Christmas, and nothing really is going to happen between now and February anyway. It's been over 12 months we've been waiting, so a deferral would probably be the best thing and bring it back in February.
So you're moving a deferral?
Am I allowed to, Mayor Pinson? Am I allowed to move for deferral on a mere minute?
You are. I mean, a seconder for the deferral? Councillor Fitzgibbon, I'll put that. Those in favour? Councillors Olsen, Doherty, Dunn, Fagg, Stapleford, Fitzgibbon, Burke, Sander. Those against? Councillors Saville, Gray, Dagg, Lyons and Pinson. So it's deferred. So we move to mayoral minute number 20. I also changed this mayoral minute. And add a second dot point that the $4,500 that's the carryover from the fireworks at the last Friday night's carol be distributed evenly among the 14 RFS brigades in the Cessnock local government area as identified in the Cessnock local emergency management plan. I do that because the firefighters have worked tirelessly to protect our community. And there are firefighters from outside our LGA who have worked so hard to protect our community. I'm just reluctant to allocate that $4,500 to other RFS crews when our crews are so needing assistance. And so for 14 crews, 14 brigades, that's over $300 for each brigade. Might seem a little amount of money, but it could help with their communications or just something that they've been wanting to buy that they haven't been able to source at this time. And it's just a small gesture to thank them for their magnificent work in keeping our community safe. And it's not over today. This will continue while the weather stays like this and the drought conditions continue. So I ask you to support this Mayoral Minute because we want to say thank you to the people who are keeping our community safe. Councillor Gray.
Thank you, Mayor Pinsent, and I can't support your Mayoral Minute enough. This fire season has just begun and it started a month early. Just some numbers that are absolutely staggering that, you know, the Gospers Mountain fires, 320,000 hectares. The little L complex fire, 67,000 hectares on our doorstep. Yeah, Kerry's Ridge, 53,000 hectares, and so on, all on our doorstep. Everything's burnt from the Bellina roads to almost the Upper Hunter. And the way the things are looking is that the whole of the Wallamai Wilderness and the Greater Blue Mountains World Heritage Area will be effectively burnt all the way from the Bellina roads to the north. This is astounding. If anybody thinks that this is normal, then they really want to go and have a good look at history. We've had fires. We are the land of floods and plains and rains and fires. But this is just totally out of the ordinary. So I did a quick back of the numbers. So just on our doorstep, it all amounts to 500,000 hectares of land has been burnt. This is devastating. 680 hounds have been lost. 2,000 outbuildings have been burnt, along with the lives of many people that have been affected and have been lost within it. This is a small gesture because this Mayoral Minute is about the people that are away from their works and they're volunteering for months, not just the weeks, but months, to fight these fires, and it's a losing battle. When you talk to them at the fire front, the only thing that's going to stop this is rain, and there is no rain to be seen anywhere on the forward estimates. What is absolutely terrifying. We've got top of Corribear, just up above Kungi Way, the fires are going and they're moving across the ridges there. This is not over. And all of those volunteers are out there fighting every day on rotations away from their work and their employers. So this is just a small contribution, but it's saying from us and the people of Cessnock, thank you for your efforts. That's really, really appreciated, and we've got your back. Thank you.
Councillor Fagg.
Thank you, Mayor Pinsent. I would add to the point that you were making earlier about supporting our own LGA. I would suggest, or I would be able to inform the Chamber that many of our operators, in fact, have been out of town from our LGA. They've been up north, they go to various places away on sort of secondment for 2 or 3 days. So we do give support outside this area. Equally, one of our tankers, in fact, is still up north. We haven't seen that for about 3 months. So it is a major situation, one that we cannot ignore. And another point there is that we talk about the volunteers, well, such that we now have to institute a rostering system. People are on standby as we speak at the moment, on a 24-hour shift basis. So this is a major problem, and I'm sure that the RFS will be very grateful to receive the monies from our council. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll put that. Those in favour? It's unanimous. Thank you. Motions of urgency. PE 77. Councillor Saval.
Can I please ask a question on this one, just in regards to the director of when we thought this would actually go on exhibition and therefore when the 50 days would end?
Director.
Oh, thank you, Mayor Pinsent. Councillor Saval, this would go on exhibition after the New Year period for 50 days. It's probably too late to be putting things on exhibition now, so we'll do it after the close of the Christmas break. Okay.
Then I'll move the recommendation.
Right, so we're moving the recommendation, Councillor Saval. Second, Councillor Gray. Councillor Sander.
No, that was my question, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Thank you. No further debate. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? It's unanimous. PE 78. Move Councillor Saval. Second, Councillor Dagg. Councillor Gray.
Thank you, Mayor Pinsent. Can I just ask a question to the Director? The application for exemption on page 96 has gone up 237%. Is there a reason why such a drastic jump?
The Director.
Through you, Mayor Pinsent. That would be because the difficulties of actually finding out whether or not one is exempt or not take a lot of time and effort, and we're supposed to be reflecting that cost in those charges. So it is actually more reflective of how much we charge and how much it actually costs to provide the service.
Councillor Dagg.
Thank you, Mayor Pinsent. It sort of answers my question. for the Director, I was just curious for our clarification, in what circumstance would someone be applying for an exemption? Because from my understanding, you need to have an inspection. So why would anyone be applying for an exemption in the first place?
Director.
Through you, Mayor Pinsent. People would be applying for an exemption from the fencing requirements, for example. Sometimes it can depend on the size of the property, and there might be some concerns over whether or not, you know, people have dams on their property and they've got to fence their pool. So you've got to come out and do an assessment, have a look around, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
No further debate. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? It's unanimous. CC 118. Councillor Dagg.
I have a question firstly for the General Manager, if possible.
Sure.
Okay.
So you take these questions on the other questions? Yeah.
In relation to on page 118, part B, point 7.3, that section states that council will acknowledge and treat complaints as such only if they are lodged in a manner described in clause 7.1. Complaints received via any other means will not be accepted. This includes councillors forwarding complaints on behalf of their constituents. I'm just a little confused about the actual intention of that point. Is it saying that that the councillors forwarding complaints needs to be in the manner described in 7.1, otherwise they won't be excluded, otherwise they'll be excluded, or that councils can't essentially make complaints? Or councils, you know, representations would be excluded, regardless of what format they're in.
Thank you. Thank you, and through you, Mr. Mayor. It's the governance team who's drafted this. I'm just going to hand over to the Director of Corporate.
Thank you.
The Director. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Dagg, the intention of that clause is to get people to put the complaints directly into council, not via the council laws. However, we could certainly look at the wording around that if councillors are worried that that is going to limit their opportunities to pass those complaints on. And I would suggest some wording along the lines of that complaints received via councillors will be treated in the same way as a complaint direct to the public officer. So council will receive it, pass it on through the appropriate process to public officer or council at or the GM at. And we would then treat it as a complaint direct from that person but we wouldn't be involving the councillor in the response, and we would be treating that complaint received the same way we could treat any other complaint received from an individual direct to the public officer at Cessnock or a letter to council.
Okay, I'm comfortable with that. My suggestion would have just been that the last two sentences in that point get swapped around, because I think that provides better clarity as to that point's intention. And I also have another question for the director. In relation to that being the case, what you've just said, in relation to point 3.44 back on page 116, if we could add the word, include the word councillor after member of parliament in the bracket section.
Director? Through the Mayor. Certainly, Councillor Dagg, we'd include that. The wording in that one was exactly the wording that had come from the Ombudsman's guideline.
Sure.
But certainly to link it in with the other one, we can make that change as well. So we'll include councillor in that component as well.
Thank you.
Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Through you, Mayor Penson. Just a question to the Director of Corporate and Community Services. On page 132, 9.1.2, it says both reports and their analysis will be provided to Council's executive leadership team for information and any appropriate action. Would it be possible to have an agenda enclosure or something in the agenda to report on how those complaints are tracked or resulted or...
The Director.
Sorry, Councillor Fitzgibbon, which dot point were you looking at
there? Oh, sorry. 1.1.2. It's on page 132.
Okay, 132. Okay, 132 is actually our internal procedures of how our staff go about collating the information and reporting back to the management. But certainly we could look at some sort of high-level reporting back of complaints.
Well, even if it's just a graph, we had... Oh, sorry.
So I assume is that you're looking for a report back to council at some sort of high-level... outcome of complaint statistics.
That'd be good.
Certainly we can look at incorporating that in some sort of report to Council.
Thank you.
Councillor Savell.
Can I ask that Councillor Stapleford go before me?
Sure. Councillor Stapleford.
Thanks, Mayor Pinsent. I have a few problems with this way it is. I have a lot of elderly people, mainly women that live by themselves, who won't make a complaint. They ring and ask, can you do it, so nobody knows it's them, and then they ring you when you get an answer back. They live by themselves, they're elderly, and the last one that I handled was for a young bloke. He's very slow at doing things, and he didn't want to make a complaint against the rangers, so he asked me the question, and I asked the department. Now, under this, how will that be treated?
Director.
Thank you. Councillor Stapleford, that would be treated as an anonymous complaint, so if there was enough information to investigate it, we would investigate it. We wouldn't actually then go back out with a response because we would have no one to respond to.
You wouldn't respond back to me so I could tell them?
Director.
As discussed earlier through the Mayor, the intention of the complaint handling policy is to respond directly to the complainant, not have the councillors involved in the response that would come back. There are a lot of issues, obviously, with privacy and the like, and that's certainly the intention of the way the policy has been framed. That is the intention of the Ombudsman's and the OLG's guidelines. So in that situation, currently, that's the way that we would address it. We would address the complaint, we would see where it leads, but we wouldn't necessarily be able to close the loop because we wouldn't have someone to go back to.
Councillor Savell.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. Given there's a number of sort of concerns, and I know we are having a future briefing, I think around CRMs as well that this fits in, I think, too. I'd like to propose that we defer this thing and to allow for a future briefing.
The Director?
Certainly you could procedurally. I might point out that there is nothing to stop Council adopting the policy tonight with those amendments as we flagged, having the briefing, and then if you need to make further amendments to the policy, we could do that at a later stage.
So to flag then the amendments on this would be we adopt it with the following changes, that point 3.44 includes the word councillor, that point 7.3, the final two sentences are swapped.
Can we just take some advice there, councillor?
Sorry. So we would reword, you would recommend, anyway, the council consider rewording dot point 7.3 with the amendment that complaints forwarded by councillors will be received as complaints and treated as a complaint received direct from the resident or the complainant, if you like.
And the next one?
And that council receive a briefing complaints on the policy.
Yep. So we've got a mover, we've got a seconder. Councillor Gray, no further debate. I'm going to put it. Those in favour? It's unanimous. WI 89. Councillors Stapleford.
Thanks, Mayor Pinsent. I've got an alternative recommendation, and it's on the board up there. I've just got one slight change to it. It reads that the General Manager liaison with the Traffic Committee to implement an appropriate traffic signage plan. That the traffic sign on Wollumbi Road, west of 11th Avenue, read Sydney Mulring Elalong. The sign on 11th Avenue, north of Millfield Road, read Sydney Mulring Elalong. That a sign be placed on 11th Avenue at the intersection of 10th Avenue to read No Through Road. That the intersection of 11th Avenue and Millfield Road, a stop sign be placed on the southern side with the white markings on the road to indicate the stop sign. On the intersection of Millfield Road and 11th Avenue, warning marks be placed on the road warning of a stop sign. On the intersection of Millfield Road and Bennett Street, a larger sign be placed further from the intersection to direct long and heavy vehicles down Bennett Street onto Wollumbi Road.
So the first part of the motion. We just need a bit of clarity there. The General Manager liaises with the Traffic Committee to implement an appropriate traffic signage plan. Okay. So Councillor, we would need to change the word implement to consider.
All right then, yes.
Just in case they're not by the Roads Act, the signage. Is that, that make it sound suitable? Okay. So the seconder was... Sorry? Okay, Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Mayor Pinson, there's a few different things. If you have a look at the maps that were put out to the public and in the report, it shows 11th Avenue as a straight line going up, when in reality it's a 20 metres wide road reserve from Wollumbi Road to Millfield Street. Once you get to Millfield Street and go down the first part, it becomes an 11 metre wide street before it then becomes a 20 metre wide street. It's very deceiving on the photo. It doesn't show the whole story of how bad that intersection is. And I know, as in the report, it mentions about the poor visibility from 3rd Street when you look up the hill because of the rise in the road. But if you stop at 11th Avenue and look to your left with those older houses there that are built right on the boundary, it's very poor visibility. And it's an accident waiting to happen, and we have the ability to engineer the problem out. And I think we should.
Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I'm wondering if Councillor Stapleford would consider an amendment to making what he's written there a point 2A or a third point to the original resolution, because we heard from the residents unanimously about what they actually wanted from this, and the resolution recommendation did cover all of that, and this is secondary to that, and my personal preference is that we run with the original recommendation and have this as a third dot point or a 2A dot point to run with that.
So we go back to the mover of the motion, Councillor Stapleford.
Yes, Your Honour.
Okay, so what you're advocating, Councillor Dunn, that this be a subset of the original recommendation?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. The second is comfortable with that? Okay, there's no further debate. I'll put that. Those in favour? That's unanimous. WI 90. Move Councillor Saval. Second Councillor Sander. Councillor Olson.
Yeah, Mayor Pinson, a question on this. I've had a couple of residents on Frame Drive speak to me about what's happening down there in Metcalf Lane being a real problem for them. The signage we have on the main road, one of the residents spoke to me today who believes that the signage is basically sending people up Frame Drive and not sending them straight ahead. When they get to Ginger's Lane, they're having a problem feeling the road's closed. They're then spinning around and heading back. Could that signage be looked at in this whole Metcalf Lane, Ginger's Lane traffic management plan so that it doesn't send any traffic up there, because what they're doing is they're going up there and right around, and it's causing the cars are speeding around there. So just something to review, if that's possible.
Did the Director wish to comment on that?
Yeah.
The Director.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. Just to clarify, we're looking at signage on which road?
On the Cessnock Road, the main one. Yeah, there's people, he believes people are following the signage that says detour and they're saying going that way. So.
Thank you.
Okay. No further debate. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? It's unanimous. WI 92. So move Councillor Saval, second Councillor Stapleford. There's no debate. Put that. Those in favour? So WI 92, review of unsealed rural roads maintenance.
Hang on.
We've gone through all this.
Just hang on.
Sorry.
We've got a mover and a seconder. Councillor Olson's got the call.
Yes, thanks, Mr. Pinson. Question. We've gone through and done all this review on our unsealed roads, and we're still, by taking option 3, still doing the same thing. Is that correct?
I still send the money. Acting Director.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. I'm just, I read through this report today, I apologise. We're not doing the same thing. We're looking at changing the amount of times that we serve, the levels of service have changed.
Sure.
So we're looking at changing the levels of service. We averaged out the levels of service over the past 3 years, yep, and applied those to all of the roads that were unsealed, and we also added roads.
So how does that reduce our greater maintenance and costs?
Acting Director.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. It reduces the costs because once you average out and apply the averages, the levels of service, some of them would be lower, but there are more roads included.
So by taking option three, we're still spending approximately $1 million, which was our original budget. We're including more roads, but the average time they get serviced will be less. It's going to have to be.
If we spend the less money. You're asking a question and answering it, or you want an answer?
I'd like an answer, thanks, Mayor Pinson. Sorry.
Acting Director.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. All currently maintained roads are included. No additional resources are required. The schedule will not require an increase in existing budgets. And there's scope to include additional form roads of suitable standard not currently maintained.
Mm. Yeah, I just don't know how you can spend less money using a grader. You're going to do more work. You can't. You're obviously doing less work, or you're spreading it out. $600,000. It's a lot of money to spend less in 12 months on a road. Mm. I just don't understand how that comes about. I really don't. Maybe someone that's on the committee might be able to tell me better, but I really can't understand how we're doing any better than what we previously were.
Councillor Stapleford.
Mayor Pinson, when you read the report, I think it puts our workers in a really good position. We've got a third extra unsealed roads than we had when the plan was put together, and not one council since 1989 have increased the budget percentage. There's a third extra roads. They're doing a third of the roads with a quarter of the budget. That's our responsibility, and next year at the budget sessions, we need to have a look at how we can improve this system. Until then, this would be the best plan that we could have. It's they've done a marvellous job with what they've given, and I think they should be recommended for it.
Councillor Doherty.
Look, thanks, Mayor Pinson. When I was reading through the listings for the roads, we had level one roads, level two roads, three and four. In the level two area, there's Dixon Road at Loxford, and there's James Lane at Bishop's Bridge, and then there's New Street in Mulbring. So I just use them as an example. James Lane would be lucky to have three houses along it. Dixon Road at the Hydro Aluminium Smelter has no one living on it. And New Street is now a high traffic volume road into Mulbring as the third road going in, with school buses using it on a daily basis. I can't understand how those three roads, by comparison, are all graded level twos.
Okay, so there's a question there. Acting Director.
Through you, Mayor Pinson, I'd have to take that one on notice.
Okay, thank you. No further debate. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Councillors Doherty, Dunn, Fagg, Stapleford, Savall, Fitzgibbon, Gray, Dagg, Burke, Sander, Lyons and Pinson. Those against? Councillor Olson. WI 93. Councillor Savall. Move the recommendation, Councillor Savall.
Yes,
sorry. And second, yeah. Councillor Gray. Councillor Olson.
Yeah, Mayor Pinson, I think this is a great strategy for trails. There's a lot of people out there that travel around in the community, and then they cycle and they trek and they like to get around the community. And this trails strategy will certainly increase tourism to the area, and if it can link in with the cycle strategy, but we would maybe even get more tourists into the area. But unfortunately, I see our cycleway strategy sitting on a shelf. I'm just concerned that this is going to do the same thing, and it's going to be another strategy wasted. But it's a great opportunity for this community to have some trails around this community that people will come to use and get out there and see what this community's got.
Thank you, Councillor Gray.
Thank you, Vincent. No, I'd like to commend the report. It's an excellent overview of where our trail strategy is, and as Councillor Olson said, it'll be great for tourism going forward. The other beauty of it is that it's built in such a way, and it's building a framework that interconnects each town and each suburb. So what happens is that the trails around it that are localised to Cessnock and around Curry and around Greater Brankston and the vineyard districts are all interlinked into one grand strategy. So the beauty of the whole strategy will be it actually links all the way back to the Richmond Vale railhead at Pelamine. So effectively be an active and healthy transport for the future. Although it will be a great benefit to tourists and a great pull factor for tourists to come and enjoy our great environment and our towns and our town centres. It'll also be great for parents, mums, dads, prams, bush bikes, walkers, and that to get in between the towns, off the main roads, and enjoy our great dance. So I recommend support to the trip. Thank you.
Thanks, Mayor Pinson. Part of that strategy is actually the Richmond Vale Rail Trail, and part of that is it's actually listed in the Hunter Strategic Plan 2036 as a major priority. So at levels of government, that'll be funded in the future. So I commend this report.
Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Through you, Mayor Pinsent. Look, I think the strategy is a great strategy. I'm always in support of anything that gets people outdoors, particularly if it's free. However, I am aware that the cost of some of these cycles can be very expensive. But my main point here is we've had a wonderful new business open in town called Bike Track Cessnock, and they are catering for just such cycleways or tracks. So they obviously have confidence in the community and our council and are looking forward to the delivery of such projects.
Thank you. No further debate. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? It's unanimous. WI 96. Move Councillor Saval. Second. Sorry, question. Councillor Saval.
The first question is in regards to the time period for when that would go out on exhibition.
Yep. Acting Director.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. It would be the same as our other reports and would not go until mid-January 2020 to allow the community a good opportunity to provide feedback.
Yeah, and then can I then move an alternate recommendation which puts a full stop after 28 days and deletes the rest?
Okay. You got a seconder for that? Councillor Sander. Councillor Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a question for the Acting Director. Does Council have a coffin lowering device?
The Acting Director.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. No, we don't.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Could I add a dot point, if Councillor Saval and Sander are happy to, that Council investigate the cost of a coffin lowering device?
Okay. Thank you. The mover and seconder are comfortable with that?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The reason I do that, the current interment site fees include the grave digging and the backfill and a suite of other things for the customer. There's plenty of council areas that have lowering devices included into their interment site fees, and while they do charge for that, you know, you have that business expense up front for the lowering device, but it can then be hired out ongoingly over a period of time, which then therefore brings some money back into the coffin for council.
Yep, sure. The Acting Director.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. That is something that we would investigate. It should be noted, though, that council doesn't lower the coffins into the graves, that the funeral directors do that. That's the reason that council doesn't currently have a lowering device, but we will go as per the recommendation.
Yeah, that we just need to just amend the second dot point there in that the GM investigate, not council. Yeah. Okay. comfortable with that. Councillor Stapleford.
Thank you, Mayor Pinsent. With the mover and the seconder, I'd like to add another point if possible, and that being, before any charges are placed on Learn to Swim lessons for people with disabilities, that it comes back to council for approval.
Can the mover and seconder comfortable with that? Yeah, sure. Director?
Through the chair, Councillor Stapleford, by just putting on a public exhibition, it has to come back to council for adoption prior to, so but your dot point three is probably not necessarily needed.
But what if we go to put a Learn to Swim class on, and it's for disabled children, we've got a thing here, we're going to charge $17 for a 15-minute lesson, if that's appropriate. Before any disabled children charged, it should come back, and we should have the decision here of whether they're charged or not.
Yep, the director.
Thank you, Councillor Stapleford. That was what I was trying to say. It has to come back to council for you to adopt it. This is putting on a public exhibition, which is the first step in changing a fee or charging a fee or a charge. So when it comes back to council, that is when you would adopt or not adopt. So you would make that decision at the next meeting. So I'm just pointing out dot point three is not necessarily needed.
Councillor Burke. Councillor Zavale.
I think, can I just clarify on behalf of Councillor Stapleford, I think he was seeking a change to the actual policy rather than a actual that the whole report come back, because you're correct that the report comes back. Councillor Stapleford was seeking, I think, that the policy be amended, that a fee waiver be in place for disabled children. For, I think that's what you're after.
Acting Director.
Through you, Mayor Pinsent, I hope that I could clarify this. We're looking to have Learn to Swim lessons at our outdoor pools, and we can't impose a fee that we don't have adopted. So the reason we've got this up is for council to adopt this particular fee. If we do have a circumstance where once we've adopted those fees that a group comes in and wants their fees waived, we have a very clear process about how they go about that, and we've done it recently with another group coming in to use our pools. So first and foremost, we have to have the fee adopted, and secondly, our fee waiver and sponsorship guidelines, I think it's called, is what we use to waive fees. I hope that clarifies that.
So then I would, as the mover, I think we could delete point three that has already gone.
Okay, fine.
Yep.
And Councillor Gray?
No, that's fine.
Okay, fine. No further debate. I'm going to put the motion, those in favour. It's unanimous. WI 98. Councillor Dagg.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I'd just like to add an additional point three, that council write to the following to seek their support for the project. Member for Cessnock, Clayton Barr. The Shadow Minister for Local Government, Greg Warren. The Minister for the Hunter. Sorry, we don't have one. That doesn't exist. And finally, the relevant minister, who I'm unsure, because I had a look online for this grant to see which department it fell under, and I wasn't sure. Maybe the director could clarify,
and maybe the director.
I thought it might have been finance.
The acting director.
Through you, Mayor Pinsent. This is the old club grant scheme, so it would be liquor and game. It's related to liquor and gaming.
Okay.
I'm not sure who that person is, but it's the old club grant.
The relevant.
Okay. So we need a mover and a second to start with. We've got the addition there. So move, Councillor Zavale. Second, Councillor Fitzgibbon. Councillor Olsen.
Yeah, Mayor Pinsent, I just wondering how we picked out which program we were going to put in for, which to get the grant, try and win a grant. How did we pick out this one?
Okay. The acting director.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. Are you referring to which program or which project, Councillor Olson?
What are we looking at here? Just from what
looking
I can
at WI98, yeah. Infrastructure
well,
Grants
what,
Program.
What are we going to get the grant for? What are we going to do with it? It's supposed to be for Miller Park, isn't it? So why did we pick that project over something else?
The Acting Director.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. This project at Miller Park was chosen because it's part of a master plan that we're implementing.
Yeah, we've got master plans for other parks as well. We've got one for Carmichael Park. It's been sitting there for 20 years. Nothing's been done. Why didn't we look at that one?
The Acting Director.
Through you, Mayor Pinson, we haven't looked at Carmichael Park because the master plan for that site is presently being updated.
Okay, well, what about Baddeley Park?
Councillor Olson, we are not going to debate with officers.
I'm trying to work out why we come up with this park as being the number one priority. Where's our priority listing of what we're supposed to be doing in this council? Why is it this park getting the priority? That's all I'm asking.
The Acting Director.
Through you, Mayor Pinson, as I have already said, this is part of the ongoing implementation of the Miller Park Master Plan, mm-hmm. and this was chosen because you're only eligible to submit one application under this program.
Okay. Councillor Saville.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. Can I just add in an additional person to write to Taylor Martin, who's MLC, who is the duty MLC for Cessnock?
Yep. Okay, so comfortable with that? Councillor Saville and Fitzgibbon, right. Taylor Martin, MLC. There's no further debate. I'll put that. Those in favour? Councillors Doherty, Dunn, Fagg, Stapleford, Saville, Fitzgibbon, Gray, Dagg, Burke, Tander, Lyons and Pinson. Those against? Councillor Olson. WI 99. Councillor Saville.
Can I move the recommendation with a slight amendment that in dot point 1 and 2 that North Rothbury and Greta be deleted and replaced with fire-affected communities?
Yep. And the second point, the same?
Yes, and the second point as well.
Okay. Right. Councillor Dunn.
Yeah, a couple of questions, Mayor Pinson.
So that's just hang on for a second. So Councillor Saville made that change and moved.
Yes.
And Councillor Dagg is seconding it. Councillor Dunn.
Yeah, a couple of questions. But firstly, with the amendment that's just happened, I was of the impression that this came from levies from the state government, and those areas were already deemed as fire affected. How does that affect the levies coming back to us?
So we'll get clarification of that. Acting Director, no?
Not really.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Director?
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. So the areas that were initially listed in the notification of the declared areas were Rothbury and North Rothbury and Greta. It's my understanding there's been additional areas added to that declaration over the last few weeks.
Yeah.
Any properties within that area, we have an exemption from the waste levy component that we have to pay to the state government, and it is for those areas within that defined declaration notice. This resolution with the amended wordings will actually align that, and we will then waive our waste fees at the waste depot, which also includes that rebate that we get back from the state government, and then this way we're able to apply it to all those areas. So we've got the exemption from the government, but we don't have a differentiated charge at the landfill, so we need council to waive the full cost across the gate that allows us then to claw back the waste levy or not pay the waste levy to the government.
Thank you. And Mayor Pinson, secondly, just a secondary question in relation to tip vouchers for fire-affected residences that basically have lost their tip vouchers due to fire. How do we cover that? How do we fix that? What's the process?
There we go.
Through the chair, I'm not aware of any properties being lost. However, if that would be a case-by-case basis, that we would have to deal with that. We don't at the moment reapply or reissue the tip waste vouchers. However, if it was within one of those declared zones and there was some proof that the person had lost those vouchers, I'm certain that so we could apply some common sense to it and come up
with. So they would just contact council?
Sorry?
They would just contact council?
They would have to contact council and go through the normal processes, yes.
No further debate. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? It's unanimous. WI 100. Move Councillor Dagg. Second Councillor Saval. Councillor Dagg.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I'll reserve my right to speak following debate.
Okay.
If there's
fine.
Any.
Councillor Olsen.
Again, Mayor Pinson, I'm just trying to work out what made us pick out the Brankston Greta Cycleway out of that list when we've had two unsuccessful expressions of interest previously. There are other projects there that could be been put in. Why was that one picked out?
The Acting Director.
Mm-hmm. Through you, Mayor Pinsent, this project is shovel-ready and it meets the requirements of the grant. And it's mainly around this time the BBR is for drought support, so drought-affected areas. Officers, including myself, looked at a map on the DPI website and it showed that that northern fringe of Brankston, which is where the Greater Brankston Cycleway is, sits within the fringe that was the most drought-affected area, and that was the reason this project was chosen.
All right. No, there's other projects, I'm sure, that would be drought-affected. I think the whole Hunter Valley is drought-affected, to be honest, whether they put it on the map or not. I just can't understand why we keep coming back with projects after project that's been unsuccessful. We should be maybe moving forward and looking for other projects that will meet the criteria.
Stapleford.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. Look, I'm going to speak against this. The part that worries me is that we potential loans to fund the project. I really don't think that we should be borrowing money to pay the government that's 25% deposit on it. It's just there are other things in the community that need doing, and I just don't think that we should be borrowing money for projects like this.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Saval.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. Can I add an additional dot point?
Yes, Councillor Saval.
That the General Manager worked towards ensuring... that more projects are shovel-ready from across the whole LGA.
Okay, so there's the mover and second are comfortable with that? Yep, okay, Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. Look, if the mover and seconder are comfortable with that, I'd like to add in that the General Manager worked towards ensuring that more projects are shovel-ready from adopted strategies, shovel-ready from adopted strategies across the LGA.
Okay, so you're comfortable with that addition, Councillor? Thank you. So the right of reply, Councillor Dagg.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. Look, I've spoken obviously about this project many times before. It is shovel-ready, and the reason, as the Acting Director has put forward, the reason why it is being put forward again is because it actually meets the criteria. In terms of it being unsuccessful in other times, they were completely different grant funding programs. The criteria for those are different, and unfortunately it wasn't successful. But the fact of the matter is this project remains incredibly important to the communities of Greta, of Brankston. As I said to a fellow councillor earlier today, I drive along the New England Highway nearly every day, and there are constantly people walking along that road or cycling, sometimes children. It's an 80 km an hour zone. There is no road shoulder. There's the road, then there is the barrier, and then there's a gully. So they are forced to walk on this highway, kids trying to get to, to the baths or to Miller Park, for example. It is unsafe, and the community have been crying out for this project for decades. Unfortunately, when we've applied for it previously, the government have not seen fit to fund it, and that's really unfortunate, but that's no reason why we shouldn't keep trying while ever the community are asking for it. I obviously fully support the application, and fingers crossed we actually get somewhere this time. But actually, just to finish up, could I add an additional point as well?
Sure.
No. Could, very similar to my previous additional point, that council write to the following people seeking their support. This is a federal government grant, so the federal member for Hunter, Joel Fitzgibbon. That's it.
Okay. Thank you. We've closed that closed debate, Councillor. You going to put that? All those in favour? Councillors Doherty, Fagg, Saval, Gray, Dagg, Burke, Sander, Lyons and Pinsent. Those against? Councillors Olson, Dunn and Stapleford.
And Fitzgibbon.
Right, BN 31, Councillor Olson.
Yeah, Mayor Pinson, thank you. Maitland Road roundabout. The Council considers the roundabout at the intersection of Maitland Road, Old Maitland Road and Gallagher Street in the development of the implementation program related to the traffic and transport strategy. It was brought to my attention by a number of residents over there
Seconder, Councillor Stapleford.
Yeah. Brought to my attention by a lot of East Chestnut residents how hard it was to get out of that intersection at busy times, and I've tried it myself to see how much they were right, and 20 minutes of sitting there waiting to get out at peak time is not a good way of getting people to be able to move around this community. And then it puts pressure on other drivers to get out and it could cause accidents. So I think it's something to move forward with so that we have a plan on how we get our road networks moving better and safer for all involved.
Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. Look, if Councillor Olson is prepared to add another point, where he's got the council considers the roundabout at the intersection, could I add in or a suitable intersection treatment? Would he mind if I did that? Could be traffic lights or something.
Yeah, I'm open to all options, but I think for...
It's either yes or no.
Yeah, no.
Okay, so I'm going to move an amendment to the motion, and that will be that Council considers a suitable intersection treatment at the intersection of Maitland Road, Old Maitland Road and Gallagher Street in the development of the implementation program related to the traffic and transport strategy.
We have a second to Councillor Saval.
I'll speak to that. Look, the reason that I don't want to lock us into a roundabout is because travelling from the east up the hill, the visibility is very poor. So therefore, I would hate for us to miss out on some sort of a solution for that intersection because we've locked into this roundabout thing. I think the roundabout would be great if it worked, but I would hate us to lose some sort of a solution for the people of that area and the people using particularly the waste management facility road and the school road.
Councillor Sander.
Yeah, through you, Mr Mayor. I was wondering if council officers could investigate the options in regard to going back to the archives, because 20-odd years ago, this intersection was deemed dangerous enough to have a set of construction plans done and it was shovel-ready for funding, I believe. Yes, because I was actually real part of that years ago. So we could have a look.
So maybe you need to include that in both the motion and the amendment.
Yep.
A second dot point that investigation into previous plans be undertaken.
Yes, that would be fine.
That seems okay. That's okay.
Yep.
Right with that. Okay, so where are we going to, Councillor Dagg?
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I support this motion. I know myself coming out from Old Maitland Road, depending on what time of the day it is, I'll sometimes do a bit of a wrap run through the other streets to avoid that corner. So I do support it, but I just have a question for the acting director. Do we know where this particular project sits in the priority system of the traffic and transport strategy? Because we've got a lot of potentially unsafe areas that need to be looked at, and maybe we shouldn't be going around cherry-picking projects.
Yep. The acting director. Yes.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. I'd have to take that on notice. I haven't looked at that strategy for quite a while.
No problem. Thank you.
Councillor Gray.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. And I fully support the amendment. It is a bad intersection, especially at peak hours. It was a shame that just couldn't be simply amended in the first place. But I'm not a road engineer. Being on traffic committee, you learn very quickly that these things we can't in this chamber, I don't believe, come in and sort of demand a roundabout on here or a roads or anything else. We need it. We do, but that corner definitely does need a treatment, especially at peak hour. It is dangerous. It is a school, and so I support the amendment. Thank you.
Councillor Doherty.
Thanks, Mayor Pinson. Just reading through the transport study and looking at all the priorities, left in, left outs, all the way down Wollombi Road, that particular intersection is quite dangerous, and it is listed in that traffic and transport study as a roundabout.
Mm-hmm. Councillor Olsen.
Thanks, Mayor Pinson. I put the motion up as a roundabout because the residents I was dealing with in East Cessnock all suggested a roundabout, and I think that if I changed my motion, I'm not being honest to the people that asked me to do this. So I, from my experience travelling around and driving around, roundabouts do work on main roads. The problem you have with traffic lights, which road gets priority, and then how often will the traffic change? I just have concerns with traffic lights on that road there. I think that we've got the space to make a decent size roundabout out there, if it can happen. I think it needs to happen sooner rather than later. Whether we end up with traffic lights or a roundabout, I'm not an engineer either, but I think it would make traffic flow that little bit easier. All traffic that was coming into town would have to slow down because there's a roundabout there rather than, it's going orange, we'll race through it. That's why I prefer the roundabout, but if it doesn't get up and the amendment gets up, so be it.
Councillor Doherty, you've already spoken on the amendment. Yep, Councillor Saville.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. Can I just propose a slight change to the amendment that just says that council considers a roundabout or suitable intersection treatment, which might cover both options, and there's just a double so of after
the
intersection.
The mover and the seconder of the, you are the seconder.
I'm the seconder. You're
putting it to the mover. You'll take that. Okay, fine.
Considers a roundabout.
Right, thank you. I'm going to put the amendment. All those in favour? Councillors Doherty, Dunn, Fagg, Stapleford, Saville, Fitzgibbon, Gray, Dagg, Burke, Sander, Lyons, and Pinson. Those against? Councillor Olsen becomes the motion. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? It's unanimous. BN 32, Councillor Olsen.
Thanks, Mayor Pinson. I have had been approached by a number of residents that use...
Second Councillor Dunn.
Have children that attend Nicolbar Public School, so they've asked that the General Manager investigate the safety around Nicolbar Public School at times of drop-off and pick-up of children and design a plan that can improve the safety for all students and pedestrians, and that the General Manager bring this back to Council within 6 months for ratification and finding funds to complete any improvements recommended. Mayor Pinson, it was a couple of residents that spoke to me out there raised the issue that the school's been upgraded, there's been changes done out there, and at times cars are parking in different locations and shouldn't be. If we could, as it is a very popular school and has grown so much, I think it's a time we had a review of what we do at Nicolbar School and what safety is for them around there, and we look at improvements there as well. Thank you.
Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. I support this motion, but I do have a question to the Director of Works and Infrastructure. I was of the understanding that we regularly audit traffic conditions or around school drop-off pick-up areas through the Traffic Committee.
The Acting Director.
Through you, Mayor Pinsent. I think that we do that, but I'd have to take it on notice to be certain.
So if that's the case, could you let us know when Knockabar School was last looked at, please? Thank you.
Councillor Berg.
Thank you, Mr Mayor. I guess this is just a comment. I know that it's, you know, Councillor Olsen has had concerns come from constituents, and I just think it's important that we ensure that we're, and this may already happen with all schools, but that we're always looking at and investigating the safety around the drop-off and pick-up from all schools in our LGA, not just one. Or, you know, if someone was to approach another councillor for someone in Curry or out at Greta Branks or wherever it might be, I guess, you know, I 100% support this because I'm a big advocate for safety, but I just think, you know, if there is already a mechanism in place for all schools, fantastic, and if there's not, then I think that we should be looking at all safety around all schools, not just one.
Councillor Gray.
Thanks, Mayor Pinson. And it's a bit like just following on to Councillor Fitzgibbon. I was pretty sure that that there's been a lot of work done through the Safety Committee. Through the Traffic Committee since I've been on it. And I know a lot of work has been done around Knockabar School with signage and change of traffic. And I know we're regularly in contact with the principals. But I'll take the opportunity to say that this council has been very, very proactive on remedying the situation and putting kiss and drop zones in to many of the schools from North Rothbury. Rothbury, out that way, Greta. sorry. out that way, I'll pick the right school, sorry. No, but, okay, so I'll stay on firm territory. I will say Abermain, Pellamain, Melbourne, and many of the... And Kersley, thank you. So we have been very, very good at doing those, and we are looking at them regularly, and I fully support the motion to have a look to see where that one's up to. Thank you.
Councillor Stapleford.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. This is a really good idea. 23 or 4 years ago, Robert Molyneux and myself, we campaigned for nearly 12 months to have the parking in the front of Knockabar School changed, where we used part of the local park. We backed the fence up, and it nearly fell over at the last minute when the PNC changed their mind and wanted the things put in the back street. But thankfully it went ahead. But it's been a long time since there's been any real change in the parking and the traffic flow out there. So I think this is a really timely motion.
Thank you, Councillor Saville.
Thank you, Mayor Pinsent. I just want to support the motion and say how it's great that the whole council's speaking up and in support of safety and road safety and specifically around Knockabar. I do just want to make the point that I think it's disappointing that the council chose earlier not to allow council to now advocate on behalf of residents of Knockabar for other safety issues in that area by deferring an earlier motion. So just flagging my disappointment.
Okay. Fine, no further debate. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? It's unanimous. Thank you. Councillor reports. No reports. I'll close that meeting. Okay, so we go to mayoral minute 18. Someone moving that we move into confidential. So move Councillor Saville, second Councillor Gray. At that point, can we appoint a minute taker? Deadly silence. Okay, so council resumed the open session of council, and thank you, Councillor Doherty, and considered Mayoral Minute 18, 2019. The recommendation as adopted by council was that council adopt the minutes of the review of the General Manager's Employment Arrangement Committee meeting of the 20th of November 2019, to that the General Manager's draft performance agreement for the period of November 2019 to November 2020 be adopted by council. That the council delegate authority to the mayor to make changes to the performance agreement in relation to items 2B and 5B of the agreement following receipt of further information from the general manager, and that the changes be reported back to council. And dot point four, that the mayor engages with the HR manager and the general manager to develop a KPI involving road infrastructure funding. At that point, I'll close the meeting with a Merry Christmas to you all. Thank you.